This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and my guest this morning is Kenosha County Executive Jim Kruiser. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Len. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, and while this isn't an exit interview, you're nearing the end of your term as county executive, and I want you to look back and talk a little bit about that. Of course, there will be a required exit interview when you do retire fully. You do know that. Didn't HR explain that to you?
I totally acknowledge that and accept it, man.
Oh, good. All right. Jim, looking back on your years as county executive, you assumed the office in June of 2008, which was probably the most inauspicious time to assume that post that I could imagine. Tell us, looking back on your career as county executive since June of 2008, how do you feel about it now?
Let me tell you, every day is a great day in Kenosha County. I love this county. I love the people in it and the people who work for the citizens of Kenosha County. In 2008, I came in at the height of the Great Recession, and my predecessor had resigned. There were virtually no paper or electronic files in the office. People said, well, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? I said, well, I worked for about 7 years as the assistant to the county executive, John Collins, who was a mentor and a very good friend of mine. And I learned a lot about the office operations. And before I left for Madison for 15 and a half years, serving our community as their state representative of the North Side. So when we came in, it wasn't about what happened behind us. It's about how are we going to move forward? And I believe, you know, infrastructure leads to economic development, which leads to jobs. Our unemployment rate was second to, I think, Racine Beloit, and sometimes tipped higher. As you know, in 2008, we also had the final shutdown of the Chrysler engine plant. So there were a lot of movements going on in this community, and I wanted to be a force thinking about the future, working toward the future. We immediately worked on Highway County Trunk N, which is by Bullimore Forks on Washington Road. As you go west of H, part of it goes straight. Washington Road goes toward the Cheese Castle, and we built out that road in cooperation with the city to a four-lane road and brought in Gordon Foods. Well, you know, it was jobs, it was infrastructure. We just took it on and did it. And who would think? Who would think later it begat Amazon and Uline, which is now our biggest private employer in town, and then created a whole different type of paradigm shift in our county. We continued on working on infrastructure throughout our community. Over the years since county executive, we've built out County Trunk K, and that's going to continue on this year in 2022 out to 94th Court and become four lanes. We've taken 30th Avenue from St. Peter's Church and made that four lanes with a multi-use trail all the way to 15th Street and all carrying the multi-use trail all the way to Parkside, which connects one of the first bike trails that my wife thought of, and then we implemented was a bike trail connecting Parkside to Carthage and then to the downtown of the rest of the downtown area. So those key infrastructure items were important. We built out Washington Road recently from two lanes to four lanes with a multi-use trail going all the way out to I-94.
And that's really terrific. If people haven't driven that lately, and probably a lot of our listeners haven't, it's an experience to experience that, and it's a wonderful experience. Now, you know, that's a county road, isn't it? How did we manage to pay for that? We didn't get any state support for that, did we, Jim?
Oh, we got $1 million from Governor Evers.
We did.
He had an infrastructure package. We've gotten, I think, 70% of the part east of Highway H federally paid for. We have been very aggressive, Len, in getting state and federal money you know, my time as leader in the state assembly is really, I was the leader of the Democratic leader of the assembly for the last 7 years I was there. And basically, you know, I interned in Congressman Aspen's office. So knowing my way around the federal and state systems of infrastructure money, I roomed with Joe Andrea, a great experience in picking his brain. Let me tell you, all you had to sit back and listen of how to get something from A to B, and you can get it there pretty quick. So those experiences I was able to take back as Kenosha County executive and be able to pull down these state and federal funds. If you'll notice, all of our parks in Kenosha County have been made over and improved to a significant level, with our flagship being Petrifying Springs Park, with multi-use paths going through there, upland paths. We had the emerald ash borer issue that people were concerned about. We ended up paying just over $100,000 to have those logged out, and people were freaking out. But we sold them when they still had value as timber. And it only cost us $100,000. We ended up getting about $200,000 in money to replace the trees there. So
I had forgotten that, Jim. That's remarkable. You know, this topic we're on really is important, that there's always a lot of money out there that gets left on the table for someone else to pick up if you're not aggressive and out there foraging for it. And, you know, in many ways, you've kind of made running the county government look easy. There haven't been any major hiccups that I could needle you about really significantly. There haven't been any big scandals. I wonder if you talk a little bit about the vision thing. When you came in, you alluded to it a little bit at the beginning of the program. What was your vision in 2008? And what's your vision now for the future? And how are they different? I'd be curious to know that.
Yeah, at the time we had high unemployment rate, like I said, so it was jobs. Infrastructure leads to jobs. I immediately got tied at the hip with Kenosha Area Business Alliance to maximize their efforts, created a high impact fund, kind of a deal closer, so that some sales tax revenues that we received were able to be put into CABA as extra incentives to bring manufacturing type jobs, because we still make a lot of things in Kenosha County. Wisconsin, still one or two, depending on the year, on per capita of people making things. That is a strength. So infrastructure, economic development, leading to jobs, quality of life. I totally copied things from Denver, Austin, San Francisco. Wherever young people are moving, Boulder, Colorado, my kids are now 28 and 30. I pick their minds constantly about what things where they live do they want to have. Oh, boundless adventures. You know what? Yeah, they got them other places. We were able to get one here. $0. We get a piece of their action too. That's smart public policy. The beer garden. Oh, that'll never go over here. Oh, guess what? It's paying for things in our park system now. It's a total revenue winner. Dog parks. Oh, you don't want the headache of dog parks. We did three of them. And since then, I think there's three more by other municipalities. People love them. I mean, these are the things we have to get out and look out in the world of what makes sense for us to do here that's economical. And by the way, the dog parks were paid for by fundraising and people who love their animals. Donations came in. It was incredible. They actually funded $25,000 of the new restroom facility by the beer garden, as long as we made it heated and year-round bathroom there for the dog park. I mean, the internal champions within Kenosha County that have helped make our parks great. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of these people that take on little projects just to make it better, to add value. And all you have to do is find them and hit that common core. Hikers. I have people who hike all these, not only on the main trails, but the upland trails, which got me thinking, you know, we need to redo some of those because they're just erosion trails now. When I took over, now they're at a 1-3% grade. They're going to have sustainability. People are embracing them. They are just from there to Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, that when I took over, was a closed gravel pit with a chain across the road, basically saying no trespassing. Now, you know, you have 400 acres of beautiful amenities with Freedom Lake, a path all the way around it, restroom facilities, about 8 miles of trail out there of different areas, and a veterans area honor plaza that is spectacular on the west side of that park with the vistas and the views. I encourage people to go explore that in 2022. They're going to be pleasantly surprised. Bring a water bottle, because it's a long walk on some of those areas.
And you're not finished with that park yet, are you?
No. The first pavilion's coming up. We've had some corporate donations. We received several million dollars for the infrastructure there. And it was an old construction yard with literally two large hills of asphalt there as an eyesore that we reground and repurposed as the roadbed for within the park, and also County Trunk F that we got 2/3 funding from the Round Lake Beach money, which they never used before in Kenosha. We started taking that money and now focused it on the realignment with County Trunk F in cooperation with the Village of Twin Lakes and the town of Randall. And it really turned out well out there.
Now, you've made quite a legacy in the parks. Now, are these visions that you've had that have been so successful since 2008, is this where you see the county continuing to go and focusing its efforts if you weren't retiring, Jim?
Yeah, Len, the parks are for the young and the young at heart. They are used by, we've had well over 1 million visitors just at Petrifying Springs Park. I'm the father of two Eagle Scouts. I've been to Philmont Scout High Adventure Camp twice. I've been to Ely, Minnesota twice with the Scouts. And I've been sailing on a boat in the Bahamas once with the Scouts. They didn't have a high adventure program. I helped facilitate that, was able to go with the boys to make sure they had adult supervision with another adult. And those, in my scouting background, really led me to want to improve the parks for the long haul with best practices. And, we have probably a record. I know we have a record amount of Eagle Scout projects that you need to do in order to achieve Eagle in our county parks. We are directly connected. When they need a project to get Eagle, let me tell you, they raise the money. They have the adult oversight. We have given the specifications. They provide the oversight and quality products get built for our park system. Silver Lake Park, talk about volunteerism. There's a whole group of fat tire bikers that cut, I think, 7 miles of trail in Silver Lake Park in beautiful areas that you can bike all year round on. Don't do it after a rain, obviously, but it's absolutely beautiful in there. We have two of the top 15 disc golf courses that we created. Now, why did I do that? Let me tell you, there's a whole culture of that we were missing. We had unused areas of Fox River Park and Silver Lake Park that one of the best designers came down and said, you know what? I'll lay this out for free. This is such a beautiful area. I won't even charge you guys. Laid them out. Our work crews came out in the summer, got them cleared out. ended up being just top-notch golf courses now that people just take for granted. But it's getting these ideas. Where will they fit? How can you be most cost-effective to trip, make your dollars stretch so much farther? And you get your return on investment. And a lot of these things are free. In these times, some people are doing fabulous with the stock market. But we also have a record number of people living in apartment complexes. They don't have a yard. Maybe they have an animal. Maybe, public parks in the pandemic have been a lifesaver for people to get out and get fresh air, safely distance, and be able to use all these trails. On top of the north and south, the old North Shore lines, we got between 70 and 90% of that paid for by stewardship grants to pave those trails. Usage has gone up, I bet, five times the amount since we did that, since the old crushed asphalt. It's just much more stable. Flat portions, you see people on all of these multi-use trails with walkers, walking, jogging, riding bikes. I mean, it's just been, it's what the new hip places are doing. We've copied a lot of those things and brought them to Kenosha County.
Jim, you probably are aware that there's going to be an election for county executive coming up in the near future. I'd like to talk a little bit about how you look at the job of county executive. Now, I don't know. Do you think that your mold is the ideal mold for a county executive, or is that a different mold than we need to look for in the future? In other words, I'm really trying to get at, what do you think is the skill set that a successful county executive needs to have here in the third decade of the 21st century where we find ourselves today? Is it like it was back in 2008 or in the 1900s, or are we looking for a different kind of skill set today? And what does that feel like to you?
Well, I'm gonna tell you, there's been a lot of people who really have made Kenosha County a great place to live, work, and play. You have to understand finances. Let me just tell you some of the fiscal highlights before I get into that. And this is the type of things people have to understand. Kenosha County received the bond rating of AAA, the highest rating possible by a municipality, joining only six other counties out of 72. That saved us already $300,000 in our borrowing by having the best bond rating. And that will continue to happen. And I think that person needs to be focused on keeping that AAA rating. We get the cheapest money, especially now that interest rates are going up. Our average levy increase since 2008 when I got elected has been 2.4%. You know, a modest increase every year and a little creativity in getting grants, you can stay on that trajectory. The mill rate for the last eight consecutive years has been reducing. The tax rate is actually equal to what it was 10 years ago. The general fund is at its highest level in history, up 143% since 2008. It ensures liquidity to provide Kenosha County obligations, and it's also part of our checkbox for our bond rating. The general obligations of debt has averaged a modest annual increase of only 1.5% since 99. And our long-term, all of our long-term obligations that were at higher rates are now down to $25 million less than they were in 2008. Understanding the velocity of money and how to manage it properly, and I will credit Joe Clark and Mark Molinaro for staying the course and setting the grid when we first got in there to straighten that out, was a big deal.
How long have we had that AAA rating? How long have we had that in terms of, have we ever had that AAA rating before, Jim? I can't remember in my lifetime when we've had a AAA bond rating.
Nope. It's, and what's also helped that? I'll tell you, Kenosha County's job growth. Jobs was number one, as I told you, in 2008. Kenosha County's job growth from 2015 to 2020 is 11.1%, the highest in Wisconsin. The highest in Wisconsin. New construction in 2020 was the third highest in Wisconsin. And the interesting thing about how we've been able to work, how we've done our budget, since 2008, the county budget has reduced its dependency of funding by tax levy from 73% of the bill to 68% of the bill, down 5%. So I think that's significant benchmarks. You have to have benchmarks, you have to have accurate and not, you have to have clear expectations and a clear understanding of the finances. I think that is the most important thing that someone brings into county government. Strong budgetary knowledge, great business sense, bringing in other experts to blind check you. You may think you know, but I always have several other people check it. You know, my finance people, all right, let's call up the rating people. Let's call up our bond. Let's double check these numbers. Make sure that we're doing best practices in every department, in every way. It will save you money. There were not best practices in a lot of areas of county government when I came in. You got to work with your internal professionals. We have top-notch employees. We want to keep them. People are losing good people now. I worked to make sure our top people were keeping. And we have to work with the business communities. We're over $250 million business. And we have over 1,100 employees. And we're AAA rated. That is a serious, you know, I'm the chief executive officer of Kenosha County. And I take those financial obligations very seriously.
Well, I suppose you're going to suggest that the next person shouldn't mess it up.
Well, I think what they need to do is get, you know, this budget for this year is done. It's going to go through. They're going to present their own budget next year. And they need to listen to some of the department heads, because county government is like an ocean liner. If you treat it like a jet ski, you're going to be in trouble. If you think you can maneuver quick right and left and make some cute maneuvers here and there, it'll catch up with you. And what people don't realize is that we have unexpected expenses that other governments don't have. If a court orders a whole gang that was involved in a fight or a shooting to get put away somewhere and held and they're under 18, we pay 100% of the freight and the transportation to and from. We set up video conferencing, saving hundreds of thousands of dollars in the courts. And the judiciary has been very, very accepting of that. But if you have someone locked up, you're still paying per day. Juvenile detentions up in Racine, Washington County, whatever it is, we're paying that. So putting together programs like I did with the Boys and Girls Club to put to work 200, let's say on average, 200 at-risk youth identified in cooperation with the Unified School District to get paid a wage to work 5 days a week. But the fifth day is an educational component with the Unified School District. They go through this 10 to 12 week program. And if they come through it successfully, not only do they get a paycheck every 2 weeks, and then they're mentors and role models for their family and neighbors in sometimes distressed areas, but they also get a half a credit of high school. Not a big deal, right? Oh, it is. Two of the big factors of going to jail. One of them is probably don't attend church with any regularity, and we can't do anything about that. But number two is you have a high school degree. If you have those two, you're probably not going to jail for a long time. If you don't have a high school degree and you don't have the other factor, that makes up the majority of the people in prison. So I think it's a way to help youth get a job. I mean, we just had a partnership this year. Dick's Sporting Goods was just so elated about the program. They hired two people outright to be their employees and donated back to the program for next year an amount of money. It's just been fabulous.
Jim, that's a terrific program. And it's one that particularly warms my heart, being interested in the human development area that I am. Are you planning
Donna
to
Rhodes make... runs that. Donna Rhodes runs that program, and she does a great job. We have over 2,100 people have gone through that since I've been elected.
I didn't realize we had become that large. That's remarkable. Are you planning to make an endorsement for a county executive in the general election?
Well, you know, we have some fine people running. They're all very good people. If you're asking who my wife is voting for, she's voting for Becky Mataska Mentenk. My mom is voting for Becky Mataska Mentenk. My sister's voting for Becky Mataska Mentenk. And yes, I'm voting for Becky Mataska Mentenk. But they're all good candidates. And here's the thing. She announced right away. She has the experience. Becky knows the job. She'll do a solid job as Kenosha County Executive. The other two are good people. I don't know a lot of their backgrounds or details. From the business aspect of county government, they haven't been really close to it. They're all good, fine people, though. I don't want to say they aren't, because they are. But I'm just personally making that decision, and that's, people have asked me enough, and I'm just going to say that's what I'm doing, Len. And
well, thank you for sharing that with us. Now, when you're looking back, and hindsight is wonderful, isn't it? There's not, as a person who's been in executive positions for most of my life, there's nothing like looking back and saying, oh my gosh, if I had only veered left instead of right, I might have come out ahead. Do you have any of those feelings looking back when you look back maybe at COVID, or you look back at the Jacob Blake tragedies and the civil disturbances and the Kyle Rittenhouse incidents, and you have your own list, even the parks. Are the things looking back that you think that you could have done better, maybe there are other factors that you think are important that we should understand in terms of not only your career, but the future, because it's not just the county executive, the county board figures in too. And if the county board is not with it, if they can't grasp the issues, then it's very hard for you to lead.
Yeah, you have to have buy-in from people. And I've been fortunate to have leadership on the county board looking what's in the best interest of the most people for the long haul. And that's been my tenet here is, you know, we move fast in a lot of areas, but it's fast relative compared to what? I mean, some communities move faster than others. And I've been a believer in the parallel track theory. And I think my staff gets tired of hearing about this, is that we may have 10 to 15 to 20 parallel tracks of projects moving along. We don't wait for one thing to get done for another to occur. You know, on the parks, we've got a dozen different projects that we're looking at, but if we get the grant in one area, that's where we're going to go. But they're all valid projects. And we work with the chairman of the Parks Committee and the chairman of the board to make sure we're on a reasonable same page on these proactive, pro quality of life issues, on the issue of working with the finance committee on those practices we need to stay in place for to keep AAA, we've been on the same page. So we have a lot of things going. It's not one thing and then another thing. These things are all going on. We have a lot of great professionals within our county government. I mean, you have your, you know, 25 departments and divisions, and you know, people don't realize all the services the county government provides. But I'm particularly proud of the team we've had, the success we've had, and the foundations we've had rebuilding the 911 center, bringing the courthouse. When I came in, you could push the parapet off the top of the building. It was loose, bringing the court back to respectability and beauty. Partnering with the Racine Lighting Company to provide the lighting out front to be really the showcase of Civic Square downtown, to upgrade the Union Club to our administration building. I was part of that when purchasing that building when I worked for John Collins, and we renovated that building now. We have a master plan downtown. We acquired quite a number of parcels around our area, knowing that the only way we can expand is west of the courthouse. and we picked up those parcels. So for long range planning, we've done a solid job preparing for the future, putting us good financial base and moving forward.
You mentioned the courthouse, Jim, and I know that there's a big project going on to make that major courtroom, restore it to what it used to be. And there's some of us who are unfortunately old enough to remember that. But it really is a marvelous building. And do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because I think that's really a wonderful project.
That's going to roll out to the community very soon. That, in fact, we have a Jeffress grant of $675,000, and it's a 1-to-2 grant. In other words, if we can raise twice as much of that as that money to match that grant, we'll in fact have the whole project paid for. We're looking at other foundations right now. There'll be local fundraising efforts going out to restore Judge Schrader's courtroom. That's who resides currently in that one. It's our ceremonial courtroom, only one of two. The other one was, there's a second floor going through it, so that'll never be refurbished. But this will be one of those things that'll stand the test of time of great art history. It'll be open to mock trials, to school groups, and other types of activities that promote the education and history of Kenosha County. And the great quote by Abraham Lincoln that was around the top of that courtroom will be visible to all as they sit there. And to paraphrase, to only let somebody who breaks the law get away with it. Let's move forward and work together and call those people out if they do in fact violate this country's great law.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
What?
I'm looking forward to that very, very much. I need to disclose that I've become a part of the committee. I've already made my first modest contribution, and I'm looking forward to seeing that brought to fruition in the next few years. And I thank you for launching that project, Jim. I think it's really important for the community to celebrate those things and preserve those beautiful remnants of our past. And there aren't a lot of them here in Kenosha. So the ones that we do have really do need to be cherished. I wonder if we could move on and you could tell us a little bit about how you look at the current situation with poverty and issues of poverty and issues of race in the county. These are very difficult topics. Kenosha has been through a lot. I used to relish the fact that no one had ever heard of my hometown, and now everybody has, and I don't like it much. I wonder if you would just talk a little bit about where you think the commission has been founded by the county board on race and equity, and it's particularly taking a look at the county government. Just wonder if you would comment on those topics a little for us, Jim.
Sure, Len. I'm glad you asked that. And that ties a little bit into the last question. Something that I should have added is, you know, if you were to go back in time and navigating through COVID-19 and the civil unrest and knowing what I know now, with that enlightenment, I wish we would have started our fundamental equity training for our employees sooner. And would have wished we would have declared racism as a public health crisis sooner than we did, August 3rd, 2020, which was 2 weeks before the shooting. But we have been on this track for a while. And as you know, the new commission was designed to help determine the extent of systemic racism in our services and to provide some guidance how we can address those issues. And so that's a big job. And we have great people getting involved, and I support them in their effort. The groups are taking a deeper dive into areas such as healthcare and law enforcement and judicial system and education. Obviously, these are broad topics, but we need to continue to work with these and the county board and make progress. You know, you can say you want to solve all the issues. I want to make sure there's progress and a path to progress to start solving some of these. It's a building process, and I hope the county board and the new county executive support those efforts going forward.
Are you satisfied with the conduct of elections in Kenosha County?
Absolutely. Top-notch election officials. Absolutely think they're totally secure. I think we've wasted a lot of time, energy, and money on debate that could be spent on making our county and our state and our country better. And it's really detracting from taking a way of getting good business done and good legislation done, as opposed to fighting and nitpicking and bickering. I am disappointed in that.
You think that there's room for further consolidation of services or shared services in various ways between the municipalities and the villages within Kenosha County and with our neighbor in Racine? Are there things that we're doing that we could maybe do better together, like maybe certain kinds of back office services or law enforcement or code enforcement? I'm just fishing here for ideas of more money-saving ways that we could generate for by working together. Do you think there's still room for that, or have we exhausted that?
I don't think you ever exhaust it. You're held back by your lack of creativity. I think Kenosha County has been a leader in that area with joint services and evidence and co-locating the law enforcement together and the booking. I think the health department is another way that the city got out of the business and just says contract for what we spend, and there's one administration of it. I could see IT being an area. We're already doing work. We have probably one of the most robust information technology systems in southeastern Wisconsin. And I mean, just dramatic for a county, one of the best counties in the state, if not the best, in the fact that we're helping other municipalities now. And during the COVID and other things, they've been able to not keep up and keep staff. We've been able to bridge that gap. We were able to deploy 300 people in 5 days to work at home. We had our COOP COG in place where if a disaster happens, how do you pick up and move? We had, you know, 2/3 of our departments have gone through that before the pandemic and before the unrest hit. So we were ready in those ways, able to pick up and continue to provide our services we provide. I think those type of best practices, and we talked about that at the last council of governments. I mean, our towns and villages in this county do a fabulous job at what they do. I think that local integrity of that local government makes a lot of sense. We meet twice a year and as an unneeded basis with the council of governments, just to talk about what's new in the county. The first thing's on there: what's going on in all the town and villages? Tell us all what's going on. And then the counties talks about what they're going to go on. So I think that dialogue, communication, has been the key to my success and people looking toward the common interest and the best we can make Kenosha County be.
Now, Jim Kruiser, County Executive of Kenosha County. Let's talk about Jim. Mike Polakoff is no longer village administrator in Pleasant Prairie, but he sits on the board. Do you have politics in your future, Jim? I've known you all your life. The idea of you vegetating in your rocking chair is not, I know that's not going to happen. What's Jim going to be about?
So my wife and I have discussed that, and we're going to see a lot of national parks. When I will tell you, we're going to visit a lot of them across this great nation. And we're going to visit a lot of the state parks. We're going to maybe miss a couple of weeks in February here in Kenosha County. We are not moving, but we're not going to make any great decisions for a year. What they say is, when you retire, don't make any big decisions in the immediate future. And why would I make any decisions to do anything during a beautiful Wisconsin summer, Len?
Well, what about the appeal of being back in the state legislature, or how about Washington, D.C.?
I think taking a year off and not making any major decisions is the best advice I've heard so far, Len. But I appreciate your question.
Well, we'll see. I'm placing bets privately on your future, but we'll see what happens. Jim, we've had some really great experiences in Kenosha County during your lifetime. We've seen Kenosha and Kenosha County change in such vast ways the population growth is both heartening and in a way frightening. It suggests to me that county and municipal governments and the city of Kenosha's government has to really have a very alert posture, let me put it that way, because I don't know, my sense is that this is not the time for a caretaker regime in any of our municipalities, but a really a forward-thinking regime. Could you tell us what you think about that thesis and what that suggests?
You are exactly right. This is not a caretaker job. And by the way, I announced over a year in advance because this job is every day. During the civil unrest, you're in the Emergency Operations Center, the EOC, every day, every night. The sheriff and the chief deputy are there and other people, you know, there's a whole program here we have that is very different. It's a very serious job. You need to have someone who's can remain calm. I've tried to always and try to do the best you can and do be as positive as you can in what's going on. But you need to make sure you're not a caretaker, because that's not good. The biggest areas you need to be involved in: hire great people and good oversight over your information technology and your finances. If you get both of those right, you're going to be fine. You're going to borrow money, which you have to borrow money for roads and other things at the lowest possible rate. And with IT, you're going to attract better employees. If they can't work from their phone or a laptop or can't convert things, they aren't going to mess around with you. They're going to go somewhere else. Don't frustrate bright young talent by not having them be able to plug in to their level. And that's over my level, but I hired people who make sure that we can handle that. And you know what? The ideas and the mental robustness of our professional staff, I'd match against any county in this great state.
What kind of a posture does it take now in the third decade of the 21st century to plan for population growth? Because I don't see any indication that it's going to slow down. Do you?
So what I did is I looked at the arteries of the city that were county roads, and you'll notice they've all gotten enlarged under my tenure.
Every one.
In 1988, I was working for the county when we built County Q, which is 165. I saw the future there. I know Northern Illinois just from travel baseball leagues with one of my sons and how congested it is and crazy it is to get around there. Two-lane roads everywhere and backed up on every Friday and Saturday night. You know what? That's not convenient. That's not good for protective services. It's not good for business, and it's not good for your citizens in the community. So the county and I worked out deals with whatever mayor was there, and all those roads are getting blown out so that they're bigger, so that we have ease of traffic in and out of our community, so people don't have to move out to somewhere else. They can have easy access to I-94. So once you do that, and then you have to be ready for people who are going to work at home. And you know what? People who work from home or their apartment, guess what? They're going to want to go out and get a quality of life issue. And that's where I think we really hit a home run and moved ahead of other communities in these past 14 years, just because of our proactive approach. I mean, within every corner of our county, we've made our park system and our bike trail system more robust and more helpful to people in our community. And that makes for a healthier community, Len.
Jim, a quick lightning question. What's the first thing you're going to do with your wife to relax after your term ends?
We're heading out of town on a little vacation. That's what we're going to do.
I want to thank you, Jim Kruiser, County Executive of Kenosha County, Wisconsin, for being with us today on Community Matters and sharing your thoughts on your career, the future of Kenosha County, and what is best practices in government. For Community Matters, this is Len Iaquinta urging you to get informed and get involved. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.